All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim daf Pei Zayin. We're going to shortly start the new perek of the Masechta, finishing up now the seventh perek of the Masechta, and we're involved in a basic machlokas tanayim regarding this mitzvah of not changing chabura, meaning your chabura, you're sitting down. We're already at the evening in the Karban Pesach was shechted, and I was nimne, I was registered over a Karban Pesach, and now I'm sitting and I'm eating the Karban Pesach. So now what? So now the Torah says, you have to eat all in one house. Meaning the basic mitzvah in the Torah is that now I'm confined to the one house that I'm eating in. Now, what exactly is going on over here? Are we having one Karban Pesach that's in one house, or is it one Karban Pesach distributed in two houses? So we have a basic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that a Karban Pesach can be divided amongst a couple of houses. So in other words, I can have one Karban Pesach, some of it eaten over here, some of it eaten over here. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're good. You could take a Karban Pesach and divide it. How do I know that? So that's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Al abatim asher yichlu oso behem." The Torah says you're eating it in the houses, meaning one Karban Pesach is eaten in many houses. Okay, so what do we do with the pasuk of a baisechad yeachel? Baisechad yeachel means that once you sit down and start eating your meal, this say hello to your dinner. Say hello not only to your dinner, but to say hello to your dinner guests. Meaning this is it. This is what you're eating. To the point in which we learned yesterday in a braisa that if you take a bite of Karban Pesach and you're by the oven, so that's it. Enjoy your seat by the oven. Enjoy Karban Pesach by the oven. Meaning wherever you're starting to eat, that's where you need to be situated. That's where you need to be locked in.
That's a question.
Yeah.
How could he do that if he's registered for another group in advance?
No, he's not registered with another group. He's registered with this group. He's registered with this group. He just started eating by the oven. He took a bite by the oven. So so that's it now. In other words, that's his seat. Anybody have a seat. That's where you're
eating. The rest of the group is not there.
Even the rest of the group is not there. In fact, the Gemara says, if pikeachu, in other words, if the rest of the group wants to be smart, so what they'll do is they'll join him over there. But in other words, once you start eating, that's it. You're locked into that spot. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And then we had Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon disagreed. Rabbi Shimon says, no. You can move around. You don't have to... confine yourself to one particular area. You're allowed to move around. It just happens to be Bais Echa Yochal. You have to be in one house. In other words, you can't be in different houses. Once you're in the house, you're in the house. But even in the house itself, you can move around. You can walk from one group to another group. Okay, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What is it contingent on? So if you remember yesterday, Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMisara, a constant machlokas that takes place throughout Shas, and that is, do we put more emphasis on the way the pasuk is read, or it is the way the pasuk is written? So if you take a look at the pasuk, Bais Echad, Yeachel, the way the correct pronunciation is Yeachel. In terms of how it's written Yochal. So which one is it? Now why is it different? Why is it significant, that difference? Yeachel is talking about the actual Karban Pesach, meaning it should be eaten. The focus of the pasuk is talking about the actual Karban itself. Bais Echad Yeachel. That would be Yeshem LeMikra, the way it's pronounced. And that means that the Karban Pesach itself has to be confined to one house. It cannot be separate amongst different houses. And that obviously follows the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, Yesh Eim LeMisora. The way that it's written, right, Misora is the way it's written because sometimes it's written the way it's not the way it's pronounced. Now, it happens to be Yeachel versus Yochel. I don't know the spelling difference between the two. So, in this particular case, I don't know what the Misora would be otherwise, but...
Above, no.
It could be both.
Right.
The vav could be thrown in. Okay, maybe. Okay, could be. Anyway, but Yeshem LaMisora, the way it's written is more significant. So therefore, it's written as if it were to be said, Lo Yochal, and therefore, since it says Yochal, it's talking about the eaters, the consumers. So Bayis Echad means, in one house, meaning in one location, you're supposed to eat it. And once you choose your location, and that choice is established, by when you start eating... So that's it. Now you're locked into that place. That's the basic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah, which we went over yesterday on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, who is the Mishnah following? Our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yehuda. I was about to say Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yehuda. It's clear that our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yehuda. That was the first comment of the Gemara. Adkan, that takes us to the review. Now we are on Pei Vav Amud Beis, and we're beginning in the Gemara. We're a couple lines from the top of the Amud. So Yeshem LaMikra, Hayu Yoshvin, four lines from the top of the Amud. Hayu Yoshvin, Nifrasa Mechitza Beinehem. Okay, let's two scenarios that we're going to paint. Well, the first scenario we're going to paint is you're sitting down at the meal, Karban Pesach meal. otherwise known as a Seder, and someone puts a mechitza right in between us. Okay? Doesn't say. Okay, that's, you know, I don't know. Okay, good, good. I can't think of another reason either. That's not the point. It could be the point, but that's not the point for our discussion. The point that's going to be for our discussion is as follows. Okay, now, if you're Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, how are you going to react to that? What's your reaction going to be halakhically? What's the reaction going to be when a mechitza now is placed in the middle? So l'divrei Amar Pesach necha b'shtecha boros ochlin. So the Gemara argues like this. Well, if you're Rabbi Shimon, you're fine. Meaning, because look, even though now it's a new chabura, now it's not really a new chabura, and you can argue the point. But right now, I'm just explaining according to the Gemara's presentation. And that is, okay, even Rabbi Shimon would say, you're allowed to change chaburas. As long as you're in the same house, you're not locked into a particular place. So really, you're fine. L'divrei Amrei in Pesach necha b'shtei chaburas ein ochlin. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that once you start eating, you're locked into your chabura, and you cannot move around, so that means now that ain ochlin, that you're not allowed to continue eating, because the mechitza that was laid down is changing your chabura. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand with this argument, because you haven't changed places. You haven't moved. All that happened was the mechitza has been laid down, and so now what once was a group of 10... now it's reduced to a group of 5. So it's not really a new chabura. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi tries to help us understand this a little bit better, how the Gemara is arguing, right? How you yoshvin Rashi, it's the second Rashi on the Amud, right? How you yoshvin chabura achas v'ochlin pesach echa v'nifras ha-mechitza b'neim v'asum shnei chaburas v'divra omer pesach necha v'shei chaburas gomer machil asam v'alf agav deman di islay pesach necha v'shei chaburas osa ladam lecha v'shnei mekomos hachalo nasu lecho chabur v'chabur mekomam kemokom achir. It's not like a new location. Shari ain't a roe avir shalorad achshav ain't kan makum chadash.
So wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda say this is fine because he's the one that they just can't go to a new place?
Right. So for Rabbi Yehuda, so I may be right. You may be right. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not a makum chadash. It's not a new place. So then you'd be fine. Right. That seems to be the way.
I'm just saying because according to Rashi.
Yeah. Right. Correct. Now let's go the other way. Okay, good. So that's if a mechitza was laid down. So the way the Gemara is arguing and the way Rashi explains it is this is not considered a new makom, and so therefore Rabbi Yehuda would say you're good. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Now let's do it the other way. Hayu yoshim v'nistalka mechitza b'neihem. Now let's remove the mechitza. So the divrei Omer ochel ochel b'shnei mekamos ochlin. Now the one who says that you're allowed to eat in shtei mekamos, so he says, okay, you're fine. Meaning this is a new makom. Now, the removal of a mechitza creates a new makom. Now, again, you can argue the point. But the way the Gemara now is presenting it is by the removal of the mechitza, you have a new view, a new vision, right? You see things that you haven't seen before, right? The other side of the wall. I mean, I understand. We're not talking about breathtaking views. But it's a new view, and so therefore it's considered like a new makom. So the one who says that you're allowed to eat shtei mekamos, that would be fine. But Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're not allowed to eat in two different places, ain't ochlin. So you're not allowed to eat. Okay, so that's the Gemara. That's the way the Gemara lays it out. Adding a mechitza, removing a mechitza, considered a new makom, not considered a new makom, fine. So Yosef Rav Kahana Kapasha Leimifsha. So Rav Kahana did exactly what we just did, meaning lay down the two scenarios, and he said Pasha, meaning like the Gemara just presented, it's obvious. Putting down a new mechitza, that's not a new makom. Removing a mechitza, oh, that's a new makom. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana v'ti baye lachi baye." I'm so happy it's pashut for you. Meaning, we ask the question, we don't think we know the answer. Siluk mechitza v'asiyas mechitza mi havik beis mekamos beis chaburz dami. We ask the question. We don't know. We don't think it's as pashut as you think it. So I'm sorry. Beis mekamos beis chaburz dami olau teku. We leave it off as a teiku, meaning we don't think we know the answer as obviously as you do. And again, in other words, the basic point of the Gemara is you really could argue. Laying down a wall, is that considered now the same makom? I don't know, could be a new makom. Removing a wall, is that now a new makom? I don't know, you didn't change places. Maybe not. So the Gemara says, you think it's so simple, we don't. Correct, but you have to, according to Rav Yehuda, you have to focus on the next word. Meaning, the next word is yochel or yeachel. meaning because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Yochal, meaning it's talking about the people. Right, so in other words, the people can't move. But in terms of the Karban Pesach, Karban Pesach can shift around a little bit. Okay, anyway, that's the Hakala Hofeches Es Paneha. Okay, the Kala, she's sitting there at the Pesach Seder, and what does she do? She turns her head away. As I mentioned yesterday, Tosfos right here, you can see the Tosfos right now, Amud, even though it goes back to the Mishnah. What's the point? The point is, either it's not considered Shtei Mekamos, meaning, remember, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. Shtei Mekamos is out of the question. So the fact that she's not facing everywhere everyone else is facing, towards the center, that's not considered Shtei Mekamos. But the other point Tosfos makes is that maybe it's a tznius issue. Maybe this is what she should do, so to be not to become the object of attention. So my time, I'm Rav Chia Baraba, I'm Rav Yochan, maybe she busha. So the Gemara explains very simply, it's busha. Rav Huna Brei, the Rav Nasa Nikola Bei Rav Nachmar Yitzchak, the Gemara tells the story of an Amora visiting the house of another Amora. Rav Nachmar Yitzchak is the Balabas. Amalei Mashimcha, Amalei Rav Huna. Okay, so a little conversation ensues. What's your name? My name is Rav Huna. Amar Nesev Mar Arpurya. I'd like you to sit down on the bed. Purya is a reference to the bed. The Gemara elsewhere, I think it's Shabbos. Okay, I don't remember specifically, but it's referred to Purya because that's where you fulfill the mitzvah of Pururvu. Yasuv Yavale Kasa Kible Bechad Zimna Vishtiya Betray Zimne. Took a cup of wine, took it in one shot, and drank it twice, meaning in two gulps. Vala Adar Ape. And he didn't face him. So Amale Maitamakar Lacha Ravuna. So he says, so just some follow up questions. Why did you call you Ravuna? Amalu Bal Hashem Ani. What do you mean? That's my name. That's what they called me for years. My time, I asked you to sit down on the bed. So why'd you do it? Because when you're in the Baal Bais' house and he gives you instruction of what to do, so you follow instruction. Right? Elsewhere, the Gemara, the next words in the Gemara that are in parentheses, chutz mitzei, meaning with exception to get out. Okay, included, not included. Not the point. In other words, not relevant to our point over here. Fine. My time kiavalachasa kabalta bechazimna. So and then I told you to take the cup, and you took it the first time. So he says misarvin lekatan ve'in misarvin legadol. So if somebody smaller than you asks you to something, so you have every right to refuse. But somebody greater than you asks you to do something, you have no right to refuse. My time ishase betray zimne. Drinking it twice, Samarlahu Ditanya, Shosa Kosa Bavasacha Tareze Gargan. Because you have a cup of wine, you drink it in one gulp, you're a gargan. That's a bad mida. In other words, I'm trying to think of a nicer word than to say a pig. So I know it's out there. But, okay, a guzzler. You're a guzzler. Okay, fine. Lack of manner. Shnayim derech eretz. Now, drinking in two gulps, that's derech eretz. That's the proper way to do it. Shlosha migase aruach. Sipping, that's arrogant. Okay, don't sip your wine. So, okay, it's not me, it's the Gemara. So, my time alo adar tapach. So, and why didn't you turn your face away? In other words, you drank while facing me. How come you didn't turn us away? I'm a little kalal feches panaha. And the whole reason why we have the story over here is because of this punchline. So he says, because the Mishnah says that a kalah feches, meaning it's clear that basic manners, derech eretz is that you're supposed to face the person you're eating or drinking with. And under exception, and that exception is listed in our Mishnah, if you're a kalah, so you have every right to turn your face away, but otherwise you don't. Tonight we looked at the Mishnah of Rabbi Shmuel.
Is it implying that in the past that men and women ate together?
Sounds that way. That's a simple pshah in the Mishnah. Tanan Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yosi Ikal Abay Reish Rabbi Shimon Rav Yosi Ben Lekunya Yavale Kasa Kabla Bechad Zimna Veshata Bechad Zimna. So here now, contrasting story. So he accepted the cup and he drank it in one gulp. So Amri Lelo Sevel Amar Hashos Ikos Bevasach Hari Zeh Gargan. Now drinking it in one gulp, that's a, what do we say now, a guzzler? Okay, that's a guzzler. So Amri Lelo Amri Bekos Ka Katan V'yen Chamatok Kriso Rechva. So, yeah, but small cup, sweet wine, and I'm really hungry. So, simple explanation in terms of my behavior. I'm Rav Huna b'nei Chabur, nechnasim b'shlosh av yotzim afilu b'echad. So, and finally, to finish up this discussion, the b'nei Chabura, Rashi says we're talking here about the Shamish. So the shamash was mishamish during the meal. So go in b'shlosha in order to recline. But to come in one or two, so should not need to be served, right? Yotzin echad echad. Rashi explains. So anytime you finish, so you can leave anytime you want. So the even though it becomes more difficult for the shamash now to be left with one or two people. So the Gemara says, yes, all this is proper behavior, but everyone has to be entering and leaving at the appropriate time. So the, in other words, again, just consideration for the shamish. And the Gemara says, everyone's got to give a proper tip and to the shamish. And the last one has to give the largest tip to the shamish, because the last one is the one that's forcing the shamish to stay there the longest. But the Gemara says, but that's not the halacha. It's interesting. The Gemara is somewhere between Derech Eretz and halacha, meaning it's not clear whether. I mean, the Gemara does say the words leis hilchasa kavasei. Sounds like we're talking about halacha psuka, and it could be that we're somewhere in the realm of Derech Eretz. Just simply, what is proper conduct? Hajjalach Ketzat Solon, that ends the seventh parak of Psachim. And now we begin this morning the eighth parak of Psachim. A lot of interesting agadah to come up. I came prepared. I came with my Tanakh. I actually read Navi last night. Right, I know. The Daf forces me to do really strange things. So the we'll come back to the Navi later on. You'll see today we talk a lot about Sefer Hosea, a big part of today's Daf. But in the meantime, however, before we start with that, we discuss the following. Again, we know regarding the Karban Pesach, so this is the idea of minui. You need to be registered over a Karban Pesach. I mean, you don't just simply show up and say, hi, I'm here, but there has to be a registration. Now, registration is not that complicated. You go over, you say, I'd like to be part of your Karban Pesach. Money, right? Money is an important part of the registration process, because there's no free lunch and there's no free Karban Pesach. Someone paid for that animal, so as part of your registration, you're actually now contributing to the Karban Pesach, and good. And now you're in. You're in the Karban Pesach. That's minui. You can withdraw your registration, right? We learned, or we will learn, that up until the very point of the Shechita, so you have every right to withdraw your registration and join another Chabura. I don't want to be part of this group. I'd much rather be part of a different group. That's okay, as long as it's before the Shechita. What our Mishnah is going to be discussing is people who are assumed to be part of a particular group. So let's start off with your spouse, your wife. So you're Shechtin Karban Pesach, and now, do you have to register your wife to the Karban Pesach? So the answer is no. I'm simplifying, we'll get to the Mishnah in just a moment. I'm just giving you a basic idea of what we're going to be seeing over the course of our Mishnah and our Gemara. The answer is no, she's your wife. You assume you're eating Karban Pesach, she's going to join you. And so there doesn't have to be a special minui for your wife. Okay? The what about, let's say, Rachman Leslan, there's an orphan, and he's under foster care. So whose chabur is he part of? Whoever's taking care of him, meaning whatever, right? He's adopted. His parents adopted parents. Whoever's responsible for him, so they're the ones who are going to be. He's nimne. He's registered over his caretaker, his care provider. Okay, so that's the basic outline. And what our Mishnah is not going to be discussing the basics, but our Mishnah, of course, is going to go into minutia and discussing what's going to happen in, let's say, some odd relationships. Let's say the wife is under in the house of her husband. Otherwise stated, simply stated, she's married. And her husband shechts Karban Pesach for her, and her father still shechting Karban Pesach for her. Okay? So tocha mishal baala. So the Mishnah is very clear. She's with her husband, right? What does it say in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis? Al kein yazov. Okay, someone help me finish it. But you're right. But you get the. I'm a little bit ahead of you, but yeah, that's it. That's basically where I'm at. The man's going to leave his mother and his father. I'm sorry, woman's going to leave her mother and father and join her husband. The dafka beisha. So over here, good. So in other words, a woman leaves the jurisdiction of her father, enters into the jurisdiction of her husband. So even if two people shechted Karban Pesach for her, but she goes with her husband. However, what about the first yantif? Meaning, I know in some families this is still a discussion. Right? Are we going to your parents? Are we going to my parents? So So for that first yantav, the minug was they went to her parents' house. That was a minug for the first yantav. The minug back then.
In this case, they both are just she.
So
he's not much as her.
Sound.
The minug
back then was she would go to her husband. She would go to her parents' house for the first yantav. Yeah, she.
Since it's called chol.
Yeah.
Could this be that this was during the period of Erusin that she was still living at the parents' house?
It's
considered married, but she's still under her.
I don't know. It says Ba'ala. Usually that's a reference to marriage. You could be right, but I don't think so. I assume it's Nisuin. Wait, let's just first get through the Mishnah, and then we'll deliberate. Halcharegel Rishon La'asos Beveis Avia. So let's say that first yantif she goes to her father's house. That was the minug. Okay, and I realize it's a bit of a strange minug, meaning she's married, but she's not yet totally comfortable in her new husband's house. By the way, in a new husband's house, not only means a new husband, it means a new husband's family. Right? Not like these days where, you know, you marry, you move away, and that's it. You're an independent. Right? But in other words, they live with one another. So by her basically going to her husband, it also means that she's going to be going to her new in-laws. So for that first yantav, she's not totally comfortable yet. So the minug was, it was just to accept the minug, she would go to her parents' house for that first yantav. And now, she has two people shachting for her. Her husband shach to karm pesach for her. Her father shach to karm pesach for her. Shachar ala avia, shachar ala abala, tocha b'makom she rotsa. So now she has a choice. She can eat whichever one she wants. Can she make the decision after the karm pesach was shachted? That's going to be the Gemara's very first question. Because don't you have to commit? Okay, so the Gemara is going to discuss that. We'll come to that back to that point in just a moment. So now I have an orphan. And let's say there were two families assigned for him. So in other words, there are, right, two apotropism, two custodians. So who are sharing the responsibility of this child. So Yochab Malkum Shu wrote that. So here too, they both shechted Karban Pesach for him. So here he has a choice. He can eat by him whoever he wants. Shal shnei shutfim lo yochal. If it's shnei shutfim, so then lo yochal. So then he is not allowed. I did skip. I realized I'm back. Evish shal shnei shutfim lo yochal. Mishal shneim. Now, what if you are an eved owned by two different people? So there, you don't even have a choice. Meaning you can't eat Karban Pesach. Now there will be a way which you'll be allowed to, which I'll get to in just a moment. No, Eved Kenani. So, but you can't. Now an Eved Kenani gets to eat Karban Pesach, meaning Eved Kenani, right, is sitting down, sitting down with his owners eating Karban Pesach. Here's a problem. This Eved Kenani is shared. In other words, half of him is owned by one owner, and the other half was owned by another owner. In other words, they went into a partnership and they bought themselves an Eved. The problem is the following. Now, he can certainly, half of him certainly can eat Karban Pesach that's owned by one, but permission was not granted by the other half. Meaning, again, he does not have any ownership over himself. He's owned by others. And so, therefore, he simply does not have, he cannot have the permission of the other owner, so that...
What can you assume that the owner would be consenting to his benefit to get rid of this guy and not pay for his, share his
food? So Rashi does point out that in order for this to work, in order for this Eved Kenani to be able to eat Karban Pesach, the three of them, meaning the two owners and him, are all registered over the same Karban Pesach. Okay. I would venture to guess an agreement would work, but the way Rashi presents it doesn't sound that way from Rashi. Now let's say you're a chetzi chetzi, meaning you are half freed and half slave. Meaning what happened is that there were two partners who both bought this Eved Kenani. One of them freed him, so now he's a chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin. Now every time we touch on this topic of discussion, we know machlok is between Beisil Beis Shammai. In terms of what should be his status, meaning should he remain in such a state, or should we force the remaining owner to free him so that he can fulfill the mitzvah Peru Revu? Okay, all that we're going to come back to. We're going to discuss that issue later on, not today. In the meantime, however, we're going to start with the first topic of our mission, that is A woman says, the Mishnah says, for that first yontif goes back to her parents' house. Her parents, her father shechs karm pesach for her. Her husband shechs karm pesach for her. What does the Mishnah say? She can choose. So, to which now the Gemara is going to discuss the obvious question, which is, well, I understand, she's committing when? If she's committing after the shechita has been done, so that means that we subscribe to this concept of breira. The concept of breira is that I can make a decision now, which retroactively would have taken place before, which needed to have taken place before. Because we know that you can't have minu, you can't be registered after the shechita. So the fact that she's making the decision after, and it does work, the Mishnah assumes it works, means that we subscribe to the concept of breira. Now, as you know, right, you've been with me enough, through enough Gemara, you know the Gemara never wants to take a hard position on breira. It's a machlokus. It remains a machlokus throughout all Shas. And so therefore, basically, the Gemara would like to sidestep the whole issue. So the Gemara does so very simply and very quickly. Shamas may not yesh breira. So the Gemara says, can you say from here that we hold a breira? So the Gemara says, my rotza b'sha shchita. Rotsa means that she'll commit before the actual shechita. But after the shechita is done, she can't commit anymore. No. Meaning that could be a way to interpret the Mishnah. So let's not have any definitive statement about breira. Uriminu. The Gemara now moves on to another topic of discussion. And that is the following. We have another braisa. What does our braisa say? She's committed to her husband. Aside from the first yantif, she's always committed to her husband. So, under normal circumstances, husband shechs karm pesach, her father shechs karm pesach, she's going with her father. She's going with her husband. Or Minu, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you based on a braisa. The braisa over here does not sound that way. Isha, regal, risha, nochels, mishal, aviha. This braisa has the first yantav, it's not even a choice. Of course she's going to eat karm pesach with her from her father. And mikan ve'elach, rotsa, nochels, mishal, aviha, rotsa, mishal, bala. And then from that point going forward, now she has a choice. Meaning now she can choose either her husband or her father. Okay. So you see what the braisa did over here as a contrast to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has it that she's always going to go to her husband, with exception of the first yontif were there, she could go either way, her husband or father. The braisa, as we just quoted, has her definitely going to her father for that first yontif after she gets married. And then equivocating between her father and her husband from that point going forward. So how do you make sense of the Mishnah versus a Braisa? Lo kasha kam berudufa lelech kam b'she'ena rudufa. So the Gemara says, well, just you have to take a look at how comfortable she is. If her level of comfort is she is rudufa lelech, what does that expression mean? Rashi explains. It means like this. She's super excited that she was accepted in her new in-laws' house. How excited is she? Runs back to her parents and says, they like me. They like me, they accept me. I'm one of the family. Now, I mean, it's funny because she's married. But in other words, but still, right? We all have enough experience of life, we all know. All right, marriage doesn't necessarily mean comfort. Comfort takes time. So in other words, so she runs back to her parents and she says, they accepted me. That's redufa lelech. If she's in that status, that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is describing that's the Redufa Leilech, meaning she's so accepted in her new parents' house, in her new in-laws' house, I should say, that from that after the first Yantav going forward, she's always going to be with her new family for Karm Pesach. Right? For all of us who have daughters, by the way, this does not look well. This is not in terms of how long we get to keep them. However, if it's ain't a Redufa Leilech, however, she still experiences discomfort. So that's the braisa. The braisa is describing that scenario. So that means that for the first yontif, she's for sure by her parents, and even from that point going forward, she has a choice. She can equivocate. Dichsiv, and here we start now with psukim from Tanakh. You'll forgive me as I butcher some of these psukim from Tanakh. Not one of my strengths. As ayisi be'enav kemotzei shalom. Right, I finally found peace. Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. So in other words, Amar Rav Yochanan Kekal Shenimtza Shleima Beveis Chameha. And this is exactly what we just finished describing. She feels peace and security in her new family. V'rdufa Leilech Lagish Yivcha Beveis Avia. She runs home to tell her parents, hey, they like me. They accepted me. Kidichsiv, and we have another pasuk describing this. And here's our first pasuk from Hosea. We're going to be spending most of the remainder of today sitting in Pesukim in Hosea. Should have told you to prepare Hosea. Vaya, 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 mahonu, Hashem tikri, yeshiva lo tikri li, od, ba'ali. refer to me as Ishi, as my husband, and not Bali. Bali is a more cordial term, but Ishi really describes a real affection and relationship between husband and wife. I'll come back to those psukim in Hosea. I'll understand that contextually a little bit better later on. I'm Rav Yochanan Kekala beveis chamev lo kekala kebeis aviha, right? Like a kala in the house of her in-laws and not in her family. Meaning she's so comfortable with her husband that she's accepted in her in-laws' house and she doesn't have to run back home to her parents' house. Okay, now, we did quote a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. The psukim in Hosea we'll come back to in just a moment. But the Gemara says, as long as we quote a psukim in Shir HaShirim in the 8th parak, so more psukim to quote in Shir HaShirim. Achos lanu katana v'shadai mein la. We have a younger sister. She is immature. Physically immature. I'm Rav Yochanan Zu Elam. Now Rav Yochanan says, now this is a mashal. Don't take the psukim literally. But rather this is a reference to the community of Elam. Rashi points out Elam is none other than the city of Shushan. Right? Shushan, Elam, same thing. Describing the city of Elam, and Rashi quotes, by the way, you'll see this in the Pesukim in Daniel, that the city of Elam, so they knew Torah, but only to a certain extent. Meaning they were able to learn Torah, but they didn't know well enough that they could teach the Torah. That describes the city of Elam. Ani chama v'shadai kemigdalos, again, going back to the Pesukim in Shir HaShirim, the 8th Perek, So this pasuk describes a woman in full maturity. I'm Rav Yochanan Ichamazu Torah. So the choma referred to in this pasuk in Shir HaShirim is a reference to Torah. And Shaddai kemigdalos el tamidei chachamim. And Rashi explains the mashal just like Shaddaim, they nurture. So too the tamidei chachamim. So they also are yonik, right? They provide sustenance. They teach Torah. Rava Amar Nichomazu Knesi Sushal. Rava gives a different mashal for these Psukim Shir HaShirim. The Chom has a reference to Knesi Sushal, Vishadai Kemigalos, Elu Bate Knesi Yosu Bate Midrashos. Shulzen based medrashes, which again nurture the Talmid Chachamim, or rather, the entire Jewish people. Okay. Amar Zucha Bartuvia Amar Rav Maidich Sif. Okay. Psukim in Tehillim. This is Kuf Memdalad. So this is now the parak right before Ashrei. Okay. Right. It's not really Ashrei, but right. We added a couple of psukim before. Okay. Tehillah LeDavid. Asher banenu kinetiim migudalim b'na'areihem b'noseim kezavios mechotavos tavnit heichal asher banenu. I'm sorry. Tavnit heichal. Okay. Quoting a pasuk from this parak in Tehillim, what we're going to do is we're going to break up the pasuk and we're going to darshan the pasuk. Asher b'neinu kinetiyam, our sons were like saplings. What does that mean? Elo b'chur Yisrael shalotam utam chet. Referring to young men who held themselves to a standard of morality and dignity and modesty and did not engage in any type of illicit relations with young girls. Speaking of which, b'nosenu kizavios elo b'sulos Yisrael sha'ogdus pischem l'ba'alayim. The next part of the pasuk referring to the Nu'uros, the young women. So again, young women who lived a life of modesty and saved themselves for their husbands. V'cheinu omer malukim mizrak kezavios mizbeach. And the Gemara just is going to explain how the pasuk actually is referring to women who are saving themselves for their husbands. The pasuk. Sorry. Right, the pasuk benosenu kizavios. So the word zavios is a reference to basically closing their Pesach is basically the imagery that we're going to try to portray. So the Gemara says, v'cheinu omer umalu kimizrak kizavios mizbeach. So Rashi explains that the mizrak over here is a closed bowl. And that's the analogy to the young girls who protect themselves and wait for their husbands. Another pasuk that describes also this idea that they close themselves off in anticipation of their husbands. Back to this pasuk in Tehillim, Mechotzvos Tavnis Heichal. And what does it mean that Tavnis Heichal, the building of the structure, if young men and young women act in this modest fashion, where they don't engage in illicit relations prior to when they get married, so it's as if it's ki'ilu They build the Beis HaMikdash during their days. Okay. And now we begin with Hosea, Sefer Hosea. Okay, here's a little I can tell you about Sefer Hosea. It's the first of Treyasar, meaning you open up to Treyasar. Okay, can you name all of Treyasar? Let's not even try. I mean, we should. Let's put it this way. We should be able to name all of Treyasar. But the first Sefer in Treyasar is Hosea. Hosea is comprised of 14 Perakim and a Navi that lived during the later Malachim of the Bais Rishon of the First Temple. Now, I don't have to be...
Yonah is one of the Treyasar, I believe.
Who?
Yonah.
That is correct. Okay, only 10 more to go. You take a look at the first pasuk in Hosea. Dvar Hashem, I'm just reading straight from Hosea. I'll come back to the Gemara in just a second. Dvar Hashem Asher Ayal Hosea ben Bari Bimei, and he lived during the kings of Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, and Yechizkiah. Yechizkiah, by the way, probably known better to us as Chizkiyahu. Okay, same. Chizkiyahu, you remember, we talked about him back in the fourth parak of Psachim, because he did a number of things. Some of them the Chachamim said, good job, and some of them the Chachamim were like, okay. But anyway, but mind you, by the way, he was a good king, meaning he brought back Torah to Eretz Yisrael, and he was excellent. His father, by the way, a train wreck, right? Achaz was terrible. In fact, one of the things that Chizkiyahu did, you remember? We talked about this in the fourth parak, is that right after his father died, he took the bones of his father and dragged the bones of his father. The Chachamim actually said that was a good thing. Okay, of course. Yes. He was good. He's doing it for good reasons. Good. Right. Yeah, I remember also a little bit. I'm at, right. He was trying. You're right. He was trying to provide a kapara for his father. Okay. Anyway, that was okay. So that was Hosea the Navi lived during these four kings. In fact, later on the Gemara is going to comment. Right. He outlived a lot of kings. So the Gemara's comment later on is going to be, when you're the king, you're basically guaranteed a short life. I've said this before, by the way. You got to do this. You got to look at pictures of presidents before and after their 4 years of term. Those 4 years are not; they're dog years. Meaning they age a man. Really, it's unbelievable what it does. So, but it's in other words, it's just true. In other words, with all that pressure and stress, I'm not giving any deep analysis. It just happens with all that pressure and stress. So it ages you. So the Gemara is going to point out that he outlived four kings. Okay, and by the way. The king, right? The Jewish people were split this time, right? Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Yehuda. So the king of Yisrael at the time was Yeravam. But don't get confused like I was last night. Not the original Yeravam. Yeravam was the first king of Israel. But we're not talking about that one because we're deep into the count, meaning we are like towards the end of Bais Rishon. So this is a different Yeravam. And the Pasuk actually speaks to that because the Pasuk says Yeravam ben Yoash. Okay, he was a later Yeravam. So. Don't confuse them with the first one. Okay, with all that stated, now we're back to the Gemara. We get to go through a little bit of Hosea. Dibar Hashem, I'm sorry, Dvar Hashem, I have the pasuk right in front of me. I should be able to pronounce it correctly. Dvar Hashem Hashayel Hosea, Bimei Uziel, Yosam Achaz Yechizka, Yechizkiah Melch Yehuda, Beperek Echad Nisnavu Dal Nevi'im. During this period of time, there were four Nevi'im. V'gadol Shebekulam Hosea. Hosea was the greatest of these four Nevi'im. Shenemar Tchilas Dvar Hashem BaHosea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first spoke to Hosea. Now, v'chiba Hosea dvar tchila v'alami Moshe ad Hosea kama Nevi'im. Now, we all know Hosea was not the first Navi. I mean, there's someone called Moshe. Okay, good. So, but what it means is that he was the first, meaning of his period, he was number one, even though there were three other Nevi'im. Am Rav Yochanan tchila arba Nevi'im sh'nisnav v'bosa perek v'elohen Hosea Yishayahu Amos u'micha. So, we have four Nevi'im. Okay, three of them made it on Treyasar. Yeshayahu gets his own Navi. But of the four Navi, Moshe was the greatest of them all. Amalo Kersh Baruch Hu Loshea Banecha Chatu Vayolo Lomar Banecha Heim Banai Chanunecha Heim Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Gilgal Rachamecha Aleim Lo Daish Lo Amar Kach. So first of all, Hashem says to Hosea, you missed your cue. Meaning, you didn't say your line. Now what your line should be is, the Jewish people are sinning, and you should be defending the Jewish people. Meaning, as a Navi, that should be part of your job. We saw that by Avram. Avram's the great defender, not just of Jewish people, of all humanity. But in other words, but you should certainly be defending the Jewish people. Reminding me that they're B'nai Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Like, you didn't do any of that. And furthermore, Hashem says to Hosea, Not only did you not say your line, but what you should do is you should replace them. Meaning, right? They're revolting, they're rebelling, right? They're picketing. Okay, so just get a new nation. That was Hoshea's line to Akash Baruch Hu. Amar Akash Baruch Hu, Ma'asel Zakein Zeh. So Akash Baruch Hu says, what am I going to do this old man? Referring to Hoshea. Amar lo, lech v'kach isha zona, v'oli lecha banim zenunim. So here's what you need to do. Find a wife, make sure she's a zona, marry her, have children with her. V'acha kach omer lo, shalcha me'apanecha. And then I'm going to tell you to get rid of your wife. Im hu yachol ishloach, afani ashalechit Yisrael. So if he gets rid of his wife, I'll get rid of mine, i.e. the Jewish people. Okay. Now, by the way, if you read the first parak of Hoshea, it's not long, it's only 9 psukim. If you read the first parak in Hoshea, without our Gemara over here, it's going to be very strange. Because our Gemara just kind of lays, I'm sorry, the psukim just lay down that, yeah, Hoshea picked up a harlot as a wife, and he had children with her, and like without any context. Our Gemara provides all the context for the first parak of Hoshea. So now, after having gone through the Gemara over here, now go back to the first parak in Hoshea, and then you'll be like, oh, now I get it. Shenamar, and now we're just going to simply go through the psukim in the Hoshea. This is the first parak. Vayamar Shem Hoshea, lekach lecha eshet zeninim v'yaldei zeninim v'ksiv v'yelech v'yikach es gomer bastiv lion. So he picks a wife, and her name is Gomer bastiv lion. Gomer marav shakol gomer imba. So the Gemara is going to be very graphic. And the way it describes her name, darshan's her name. So number one, Hakol Gomrim Ba. So everyone satisfies themselves with her. Meaning she was that good a zona. Bastiv Layim. We're now on the Amud Beis. Dibara Bas Dibara. Meaning there wasn't enough bad things to say about her father. Meaning she was a woman of ill repute. And I mean that in the most literal sense imaginable. Ushmuel Amar Shemetuka Mipia Kol Kedvela. Shmuel Darshan's a little differently. Sweet like a Dvela. Rav Yochanan Amar Shakol Darshan Ba Kedvela. Rav Yochanan, no punches held back over here. Rav Yochanan says, everyone had their way with her. Like a Dvela. Davracha Gomer Amar Rav Yehuda Shebikshu Legamer Mamonim Shal Yisrael B'yameha. Right, she looked to end the money of the Jewish people. Meaning, high priced and everyone... Everyone found themselves by her. Rav Yochanan Amar Bazazu Vigamru. Rav Yochanan says, no, actually it occurred. Meaning, right, really, people just gave their money away. The Pasuk says, Ki ivda malach aram v'yastimam ka'afar ladosh. Okay, the Pasuk speaks to this idea that there was no money left. Vatar v'tel lo ben, we're back to the Pesukim and Hoshea. So now they had their first son, Hoshea and Gomer Bastiv Layim. Here's what you're going to call it Israel. Ki od me'ar fakarati adami Israel al beis Yehu v'ishpatim al mechos beis Israel. And what's going to happen is the Jewish people are going to be sent into exile. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos explains the word Yisrael al shem ha'asid sheyizru'u begola. We're going to be planted in exile. Meaning it's going to be not that we're going to go to exile for a little bit, but we're going to get planted there. Right, I think 2,000 years later, more actually, because this really goes back all the way to Bais Rishon. But I think we get it. V'tar ova telebas v'tikra lo shema lo ruchama. The next child they have is a girl. They call her by Hakadosh Baruch Hu's orders lo ruchama. Ki lo osif od arachem es beis Yisrael. Ki naso asal lahem. I'm not going to have any more compassion. V'tar v'tele ben v'yomer karashmo lo ami. The third child had by Hoshea and Gomer Bastiv Layim is a boy named Lo Ami. Ki atem Lo Ami va'anochi Lo Eyalachem. Lo Eyalachem.
That's a tough bris name. Right?
These are tough names. La shenodu lo shnei banim ba'asechad amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo Hoshea lo hayalacha lomo mimoshe rabcha. Now, after having all these children, now Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Remember Moshe," meaning he had nevuah, and after having spoken to me. So he had to separate from his wife. She came and she debarked imo pirish mina isha af adab badolas mecha mimena. So now Moshe separated from his wife. You need to as well. Amalo ribon shalom yeshli banim mimena v'ein ani achol lahotziav lo legarsha. So he says, what are you kidding? That's my wife, that's my children. So Amar Leh, right, sometimes it takes a while to get a point. Here it took a wife and three children, just to make one point. Amar Leh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uma Tashi Ishecha Zona V'necha B'nei Zenunim. V'ina Ta Yodeh Im Shecha Hein, Im Shecherim Hein. So let me get this straight. Your wife, your children. You don't even know if they're your children. Remember, she's a Zona. So you're not even sure if they're yours. So, and meanwhile, I tell you to get rid of her, you can't. I tell you to get rid of the kids, you can't. Kach Yisrael She'im Banai, B'nei Bechunai, B'nei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. These are my children, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they are not, and I know they're my children, meaning sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Echad Me'arba Kinyanim Shekanisi Ba'olami. They're my kinyan. And the Gemara, I'm going to go through this quickly. I see the time. We'll finish in just a second. And they're my kinyan. The pasuk says, "Tara and the four kinyanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Tara kinyan echa dechsev Hashem kanani reishis darko. So Tara is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kinyan. Number two is Shamayim ve'aretz kinyan echa dechsev kona Shamayim ve'aretz. And Beis Hamikdash kinyan echa dechsev harze kantan yimino. And Yisrael kinyan echad. And the Jewish people are a kinyan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dechsev amzu kanisa. Right, we say every day. During the Az Yashar. And remember, you are the one who suggested me replace them. You won't even get rid of your wife, who's a Zona. And you're telling me to replace my children. So now, he got the point. Okay, it took a while, but he got the point. And now he asks the Rachmanis because he realizes he made a terrible mistake. And now here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, you know, with every child that you had, that was a new gzera on the Jewish people. Remember the names of the children. Right? La Ruchama, La Ami, Yisrael. So, Amar Bikesh Rachamim Vato Gzera, Vizchil of Archam. And now we get to the second parak of Hosea. And now you're going to see all the brachas that Hosea was giving to the Jewish people. And now it's basically trying to make up, undo that the mistake that he made. Just quoting the psukim. V'zarasi le ba'aretz v'rechamti es lo ruchama v'amarti lo ami ami ata. Okay, and those psukim in Perek Beis all are brachas that Hosea are giving the Jewish people, all to counter the klalos that were given with every one of his children. Because remember, every one of the children, the names of every one of his children reflected a new klala for the Jewish people: Yisrael, Lo Ruchama, Lo Ami. So every one of the brachas was trying to counter one of the klalos. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. More Hosea talk. And more Navi. Take a look, by the way, I encourage you. I mean, I look at the first couple of prakim in Hosea, where the Navi speaks of everything we just spoke about today, and then some.